Thank you, Brother Donnie. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, also those live streaming. I'd like to start in Proverbs, the 16th chapter this morning. I touched on it in Sunday school this morning in our Sunday school class. But I'm going to start with the 6th and 7th verse in that 16th chapter. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, I considered, the fear of God before, as far as what it is. And that word fear, I believe it is a respect and an understanding of God. I learnt at an early age what that was. Not only in my family, but also, and I hadn't really put it together like this, but your parents, you have a great respect for them, but you also have an understanding of what it is that is required of you. And so I'd like to go to Isaiah, the 57th chapter. And it says this, 11th verse. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? You know, God requires something from us. And I believe that it is that respect and that understanding. And how you understand God is by your knowledge. I want to go to James, the 5th chapter. And hopefully I'll explain these things better. And in the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, and it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Like passions. You know, I look at my life and I see how passionate about some things that I truly am. You know, I didn't grow up, and most of you know this part of the story. I didn't grow up with God in my life. But I understood certain things about that respect and understanding. And those things changed my life in a lot of ways. And we associate fear with being scared of something. I've seen what God can do to people. Pretty amazing when he is against you. Because I understood that at an early age, or I shouldn't say an early age, but an early part in this journey that I've been on. I've seen what God did to people because they feared him not. They didn't have that respect. They didn't have that understanding of them. You know, I didn't have the understanding either. But God had put me through some amazing things in my life. And so I want to go to just a few pages previous. The 11th chapter of Hebrews. I'm going to start in the seventh verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger, as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she was judged him faithful who had promised. You know, I look at all these examples of that fear of God, that understanding of who he is, of what he can do. You know, I've seen great miracles in my life that just defy the logic of man. They changed my life. You know, I think about Elisha. You know, Elisha, he wanted a gift because he recognized something in Elijah. You know, when I started this journey, there was these old RLDS ministers, and I seen great testimonies and great miracles in their lives. Phenomenal miracles. No different than Elisha. I seen something in their lives that I desire. It was a closeness and a love for their God that they desired more than anything else. Changed my life. With great respect and understanding, I didn't know anything. I'd never really been to church before. But I seen amazing things that they had, a relationship with God that I wanted. Hebrews 11, fifth verse, says this. Hebrews 11. Was it the fifth? That's not the one I was looking for. There's something about Enoch. You know who Enoch was, right?
Huh? That's chapter 11, verse 5.
Yeah, is it? And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as... Oh, I'm in 12, so I'm sorry. It flipped over, that's why. Oh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. That, you know, that's an interesting thought. You ever wondered why God translated him? You know, we all surmise, we all look at those things, but, you know, I look at this as the more things that you understand about God, the greater a relationship that you have, the less that you have in common with the rest of the world. You see things differently. Your life has changed in so many ways because God has poured out His Spirit upon you because you desire that kind of relationship, that understanding. And therefore, even with your brothers and sisters, some people never understand where you're coming from. And it gets sometimes to be a lonely place to have great understanding. People just don't see it. You know, and I use down in the visitor center a scripture, and I tell people, I say, the Apostle Paul believed there was a God before the road to Damascus. What changed? Had to be a great change in him, wasn't it? His understanding and the respect and love for his God. And I give you an example. Things that were offered unto an idol would have been a non-issue for a Pharisee of Pharisees. But yet, it took him 3 chapters to try and explain that, didn't it? I'm neither the better for not eating of it. You see, it lost its power because of the understanding that God poured out upon him. Do you desire that? You see, God is willing to do that for us, but there's something that we have to understand. It requires great commitment, great passion, as Elias. Those are the things that change who we are. That we don't want to commit sin anymore, that we want to turn our life over to Him in such a way we're no longer that same creature, that natural man. It's a process that we go through. You know, we can mandate, we can say, you know, everybody has to come to church or whatever. That's not what it's about. I want to go to Matthew, the 13th chapter. And I've read this before, but I think it's really important that we understand this. Tenth verse. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's a really interesting statement, isn't it? He was talking about the masses. They came seeking him. They came for the miracles. They came for the healings. They came for the fish and the loaves, but they didn't come for that relationship. That should be telling to us, shouldn't it? Should scare us to death. They were followers. You know, and this is the thing, you know, he says, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. How committed are you? That fear, that understanding, and that respect is really important. You know, he goes on and he says, For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. You know, I'm not saying that the masses aren't saved. There are always some in amongst there. And a friend of mine always used to tell me, the elm is in the bushes. You guys, the elm is in the bushes. That's who you're looking for. Page 553, Alma, the 10th chapter. Oh. 48 through 51. And when Amulek saw the pains of the women and the children who were consuming in the fire, he was also pained, and he said unto Alma, How can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God, which is in us, and save them from the flames. Excuse me. But Alma said unto him, The Spirit constraineth me that I must not stretch forth mine hand. For behold, the Lord receiveth them up unto himself in glory. And he doth suffer that they may do this thing, or that the people may do this thing unto them according to the hardness of their hearts, that the judgments which he hath exercised upon them in his wrath may be just. You see, there's a maturity about having that understanding and that respect. You know, there's a scripture in James, and it says, and it's the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. It says, you receive not because you ask amiss. If you had this kind of relationship with God, you wouldn't ask those things. You see, these things... And someone said in Sunday school, I think it was Kim, said, you know, our ways are not God's ways. That's so true. Because there is an understanding of how God deals with us. And it's not always, I want. He's not the benevolent uncle. The answer is, and a lot of times, is no. You know, and I learned that at an early time in this process. The answer is no. Page 420, which was still in Alma. It's the 16th chapter. And I'm going to start in 117. And behold, he clapped his hands upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and after that they did separate themselves one from another, taking no thought for themselves, what they should eat, what they should drink, or what they should put on. And the Lord provided for them that they should hunger not, neither should they thirst. Yea, and he also gave them strength that they should suffer no manner of afflictions, save it were swallowed up in the joy of Christ. Now this was according to the prayer of Alma, and this because he prayed in faith. Had an understanding and a knowledge of who his God was. Was able to do those things. Has to change who we are. Now I'm going to go backwards a little bit, and it's the third chapter of Alma. And I'm going to start in the 27th verse. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren, of the church. This is you guys. Have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received his image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Pretty simple questions. Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality, and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal flesh? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or do you imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that we will save you? Or otherwise, can you imagine yourself being brought before the tribunal of God with your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt? Yea, a perfect understanding of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God. The commandments of God. Something has to change within us. Been great changes in my life. Great changes in my life. Fourth Nephi, first chapter, 17th verse. And it came to pass that there was no contentions in the land because of the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. And there were no envying, nor strifes, nor tumults, nor whoredoms, nor lyings, nor murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God. That's our goal. That's our goal, isn't it? That we have that kind of relationship with our God, that we just desire to serve him with all our hearts. Second Kings. You know, I just absolutely adore Kings anymore, especially Second Kings. And I want to go to the sixth chapter. I'm going to just start in that first verse on that sixth chapter. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Isn't that interesting? Too straight for us. These were men of God. Because obviously, Elisha had fashioned his life to where he desired that kind of relationship with his God that they didn't. You know, we're called to ask one another, you know, step up in our service to our God. Step up. Too straight. You know, when we stand before God, we're going to go, yeah, I just didn't want to do that. I wonder how that's going to go for us. You know, King David, the interesting thing, I see that my time is up, but the interesting thing about King David is that, when God made him king, you think he didn't know that he was going to take Bathsheba? Of course he did. You know, and I don't have time to go through the scriptures, but the thing about that was that there was things that King David needed to learn. You know, he wasn't exactly, when he was a young man, you know, and he went before Goliath, did he have any fear? Absolutely not. He understood who God was. He understood perfectly well who God was. But yet, there were some lessons that he needed to be taught. I want to go to Samuel, 2 Samuel. This will be my last scripture. And this is when he's fleeing from Absalom. And he had an understanding at this point. And I'm going to go to the 8th verse, and it says, "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of..." And this is Shimei talking to him. Actually, I'll go to the 7th. "And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, came out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom under the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse thy lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." Abishai is going to do the business for King David, right? "And the king said, what have I to do with ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." He understood perfectly well that God had allowed that to happen, because he wanted him to understand and have respect for God. You know, for all intents and purposes, you know, there's, I said that was the last scripture, but I want to make one more thing. You know, we're all worried about politics and what sides and those kind of things, but I would refer you to Daniel, the fourth chapter. And there's it's in two places. And so I want you to just, part of the 25th verse, and it says that they shall drive thee from men. And this is where he was told that this was going to happen to him. And so it's in two places, but I'm going to read just this. That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat as oxen, and they shall wet thee seven times, wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. That's an interesting scripture, and it says the same thing over here in the 32nd verse. But I want to read the 34th. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting kingdom, dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And I'd like to leave you with that thought, that don't be concerned about what's going on. Have a love and a respect and an understanding for your God more than anything else. That your brothers and sisters are more important than anything else. And that our God is number one in all those things. And I thank you for your time. I'm sorry that I've gone over a little bit. I do appreciate and love each and every one of you. Thank you very much, and God bless you.